Do you think that conspiracy theories have become religion for some people?
I mean, it depends how you define religion, I guess. But I mean, in the sense of this kind of all-encompassing worldview, that's definitely the case. The kind of deeper you go down for some of these conspiracy theories. I mean, I've interviewed a few QAnon adherents who'd left the movement, and they describe it as that, right? This kind of, they woke up in the morning and they were thinking about QAnon ideas. They were online 6 to 7 to 8 hours a day on these platforms and going down different rabbit holes. They really thought that the world was going to change imminently and that they were one of the vanguards who was going to come along and kind of save society, that society depended on them to kind of, you know, free all these young children who were being held captive and by Hollywood elites or Democratic elites. And so it does become this kind of all-encompassing worldview. Some conspiracy theories do have that quality. I haven't met anyone who believes in the moon landing was faked or that the Earth is flat who kind of is also, you know, has this kind of all-encompassing worldview about it. But things like QAnon, things like Stop the Steal, things like, I don't know, society kind of being overrun, the Great Replacement Theory is another one. It does kind of become all-encompassing for some people because of that kind of urgency, I think, right? There's some of these ideas have a level of moral urgency to them that there's an imminent destruction coming, imminent change coming, and you personally need to do something about it. And so they have this kind of quality of getting people, out of their chairs and really riled up about becoming part of this revolution that's supposed to be around the corner.
And has there been research done into why people gravitate towards conspiracy theories? Like, what are the main reasons?
I think there's some people talk about kind of three different kinds of motivations. One of them is usually what's known as epistemic motives, and so this kind of need for explanation. They also call it kind of proportionality bias, and so this idea that the larger an event, the greater the cause of that event must be. And so the JFK assassination is a good example of this, where the idea that the president of the United States was killed by this one guy in a book depository just doesn't kind of feel comfortable for people, right? It's not psychologically satisfying that something so momentous was done by just one person. And so they tend to look for equally momentous explanations for why something like that happened. COVID is another example. A virus that brought the entire planet to a screeching halt could not possibly have been an accident that kind of leaked out into a lab or something like that. There must be something else going on, right? And so people look for these explanations that are kind of psychologically satisfying for them. Another explanation is existential motives. And so this idea that we're living in a world that is more chaotic. You have less control over what happens around you. COVID is another example. Another good example of this is that you were just going about your day, taking your kids to work and going to work and living your life. And all of a sudden, everything is uprooted and everything is turned upside down. And so you lose control over your life and your surroundings and your loved ones. And so there is a need to kind of gain that control back or get that control back in some way. And conspiracy theories are excellent at doing that. They come along and say, here's who you blame and here's who caused it. And here's how, you know, here's the people that are to blame behind this. And so they have a ability to kind of give you a cause and effect that's quite satisfying. And more and more, the third explanation is these societal motives. And that's happening more and more in the online space where the online community, the friends in your community, conspiracy community online, become very important to you, right? And so the relationships that people have formed in the online space keep people continuously in these movements. And this is where you, there's some good examples with the Stop the Steal movement or even the QAnon movement where they thought, you know, they would set a date where something is supposed to happen, that date would come and go. And, the online community was pivotal for kind of making that failure of prophecy palatable, right? And how do you get beyond the failure of prophecy? Well, here's, you know, we were all mistaken, or we were, you know, actually a new date is more accurate, etc. And so the online community is, I think, quite important for keeping these people firmly entrenched in some of these conspiracy communities. So I would kind of point to those three things.